We'll be reading from 1 Peter 3, from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
Good morning. Great to have all of you here. A lot of visitors again. We're just honored that you've come to be with us, and we would invite you to join us at any opportunity you have, and join us as we strive to find God's will and to live it in our lives and to be of service to Him. I feel obligated to remind you that the last day to pay county property taxes without penalty and interest is February the 28th, which is this Tuesday. We do honor the postmark. If you get it in the mail, you will be fine. There'll be no penalty and interest. If you miss it, don't say, "I didn't tell you." Don't call me when I send you that delinquent notice in April and tell me what a sorry rascal I am. If you did not get your bill, it does not keep you from paying property taxes, so check. God told Adam and Eve when he put them in the garden that was made specifically for them, and it was very good, that they could eat from all of the trees of the garden except for the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did, they would die. God gives us a choice as human beings created in his image to do right or to do wrong. We are not robots. We are not puppets. We are not in a dimension where we have no choice. We are able to choose, which is a wonderful thing. But what happens when one is given choice, given freedom? Responsibility comes with it, right? And one has to accept the consequences for the decisions and the choices that we make. I don't know why eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil brought about death. Other than it ushered in sin, it was disobedience to God. Why that tree? Why that fruit? I don't know. Not really the point of the lesson, but it's something that I'm not sure. But God just said, this is what will happen if you do it. This is what will happen if you do it. So what? Don't do it. Right? Don't do it, because this is what happens when you do that. We have a new puppy at home. I'm not wild about puppies, but I've found myself very fond of this puppy. And so when the puppy goes toward the road, what do? We tell him to get off the road, right? We scold him and tell him his name is Opie. It should be Gus, but the girls named him. And his name is Opie. Say, "Opie, get off the road. Opie, get off the road." Why do I tell Opie to get off the road? Because if you play on the road, sooner or later, bad things happen on the road. You get hit on the road, right? We understand that. We don't want the puppy to get hit. So we just try to keep the puppy off the road because there's danger on the road. Now, here's a thought that I want us to think about for a moment. Because I told Opie not to get on the road, if I see Opie on the road, am I going to get in my car and speed up real fast and try to run over Opie on the road? No, I'm not that kind of guy. Some of you are thinking, well, would he or would he not? Thank you for the vote of confidence. No, I'm not going to try to run over to Oprah and say, see, I told you so. But I know the consequences of playing on the road, and they are that you get run over. The point is, God didn't desire for Adam and Eve to sin and bring about the complication of death. God just knew when they ate, this is what's coming. God has led us into all truth. And God has not arbitrarily set up rules and laws to make life difficult for us, and set up rules and laws so that he can bring a judgment against us. What God has done is said, I'm going to tell you what truth is, and the consequences of violating these laws are death. Right? I often use the law of gravity that Newton discovered, Sir Isaac, the law of gravity. Is it because Isaac Newton said there is gravity that if I jumped off this steeple that I would splat on the ground? No. It's because gravity exists that if I were to jump off that steeple, I would splat on the ground. And so I learned not to jump off steeples. Now, I tell you, that one doesn't bother me much because I don't like heights. I'm not going to get on that steeple. If you see me splatted out there in the parking lot, you look for murder, because I ain't going to be anywhere where I'm going to fall off because I don't like heights. All right? Here's the part of gravity I really don't like. And whether I accept it or don't accept it, the effect that gravity has on the bathroom scales bothers me much more than splatting in the parking lot from going off the steeples, because I have to deal with that one every day. Okay? But it's not, the law is the explanation about what happens when we violate it. Right? Does that make sense? God said, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this is what's going to happen. You're going to die. Death entered the world. But Adam and Eve made the choice. And so God didn't say, all right, I'm going to bring death. It is, I knew what would happen if you did this. And you've done it, and here it is. Here it is. I told you not to play in the road. Not that since I caught you playing in the road, I'm going to run over you. I just knew if you played in the road, this is what happens. That's why we don't play in the road. Sin brings about death. That is the consequence of sin. It's death. Now, who catching us in the road would try their best to run over us? Satan would. Satan would. He would try to catch us in any vulnerable place and destroy us. And don't ever forget that. He is not a benign driver. You know, sometimes puppies get run over by people who don't mean to. It just happens. And they feel bad and you feel bad. And it's just bad. But Satan would try to run over us were he to catch us in the road. Because he's the bad guy. And not only would he try to run over us if he caught us in the road, what would he try to do? You know how we get Opie to go into his little kennel at night? A treat, right? The treat. And now Opie has learned he'll go in the kennel and turn around and look at you for the treat. He'll do that for them. He doesn't do that for me. He doesn't like me that well. I have to kind of push him in the kennel. I still give him the treat, but he needs me to push him in. But what would Satan do? What does Satan do? He would give you a treat to go out in the middle of the road, wouldn't he? Where there's danger. Because that's the game that Satan plays. And we need to understand the difference between God and Satan. God warns us about sin and its consequences, and tries to keep us from it. And Satan tries to disguise the consequences of sin and lure us into it. Because God's desire is not that we find destruction, but that we have life. And Satan's desire is for us to be destroyed. That's his goal, to destroy us. That's a little scary, isn't it? That there is a being who is powerful, whose desire is to destroy us. But that's a good thing that we got God on our side, right? Now, so death has entered the world because Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, and they sinned, and though the consequence of death came. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 begins the discussion of Noah. Most of us know about Noah, right? Noah built the ark. Why did Noah build the ark? Because a flood was coming. Why was the flood coming? Because the disobedience of man had reached a crescendo. Man was evil from the time he woke up in the morning until the time he went to bed at night. All his thoughts were on evil, on doing wrong. Except for a man, Noah, who found favor in the sight of God and who did righteousness. And so God prepares Noah for the coming flood, for the destruction of the world. Why was that destruction of the earth coming? Because sin's consequences are death and destruction. And man was evil. And so Noah preaches, Noah says, there's a flood coming. You need to repent. And people ignored Noah. Maybe they made fun of Noah. They had to think he was strange, building an ark. But what happened when the water started? When the rains came and the fountains of the deep broke forth and water started rising. The door of the ark at that point was closed, right? People started running uphill. You know, climbing the mountains, and the water keeps rising and the rain keeps falling. Till pretty soon, there's a few hanging on the tallest tree of the tallest mountain, right? And I understand probably on the top of the tallest mountain there is no tree. There is a tree line, and I get that. But the highest pinnacle they could reach, and it keeps raining and it keeps flooding. How long can you tread water? And so they drown. They all died except whom? Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives, eight in all, were saved from the flood because God saved them from the destruction that came as a result of what? You can answer that question. Why did the flood come? Because of sin. The flood came as a result of sin. God regretted he had made man because man had become evil and sinful, and the wages of sin is death. It's just the cause. You jump off the roof, you're going to fall to the pavement. Sin brings death. It's just a law. Sin brings death. That is the consequence. And man had become evil, and so death came, and so now we have a new earth. It's the same earth, but it's cleansed, right? Cleansed by the flood. And so God starts again. He renews a covenant with Noah and with his family. Now, we read, Roy read for us from 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, what does Peter talk about? What's Peter telling us? That Christ came to save us from the destruction of sin. Right? Christ came to save us from the destruction of sin. We are saved by what? The the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus paid the price of sin, because what's the consequence of sin? Death. This is not a trick. It's not a trick question. I'm not trying to catch you up. I'm not trying to embarrass you. You know, it's not a trick like my daughter's trick about the Andy Griffith show. She said, what characters play what characters? What character did Andy Griffith play? Andy Griffith, no, he played Andy Taylor. It's a trick. It's the Andy Griffith show, but the character's Andy Taylor. Right? It's not a trick. What's the consequence of sin? Death. What's the consequence of sin? Some of you are catching on to this. Some of y'all did not score very well in school, did you? What's the consequence of sin?
Death.
The consequence of sin is death. It's always death. The consequence of every sin is death. Did you hear that? The consequence of every sin is death. The consequence of every sin is death. Every time I jump off the roof of this church building, I'm going to splat on the pavement. Right? If I jump off, I'm going to splat on the pavement. If I slip off, I'm going to splat on the pavement. If I stumble off, I'm going to splat on the pavement. If I pass out on the roof and fall down, I'm going to splat on the pavement. Every time. No matter what the reason is that I fall off, the rule is gravity is going to pull me to the ground. The consequence of every sin is death. The consequence of sin was death at the time of the flood. Right? Now, is God ever going to destroy the world again with a flood? No. How do we know that? God said so. Right? God said so. And we sing the song, God put a rainbow in the cloud. You ever sang that song? God put a rainbow in the cloud. As a sign of the covenant that he made, never again will he destroy the earth with the flood. Never again will he do that. But the consequence of sin is? The consequence of every sin is? Death. But not going to destroy the world again with a flood. But Jesus came and did what for us? That's right, died. Jesus came and did what for us? He died. He died. But why did Jesus die? You got to think about this one for a second. But I'm going to tell you, I've been giving you a hint for the last 5 minutes. Sin. Because the consequences of sin is death. And what Jesus did is, he stepped in our place. Because all of us are sinners. Jesus stepped in our place and said, I am going to die for them. Jesus catches us from falling off the roof and falls in our place. Okay? Jesus died because the consequence of sin is death, and that's unavoidable. That's unavoidable. That's just a fact. Just like when I come off that roof, I'm falling. It's unavoidable. And so Jesus took the unavoidable consequences of sin by dying on a cross for us. And we are saved by the sacrifice of Jesus because he stood in our place. Jesus stood in our place. And so Peter uses the symbolism of baptism. And this is important because the apostle says baptism also now saves us. How does he mean? Is there something magic about the water? I mean, I like CUD water fine. That's all we have. It's just CUD water. Filtered and got a little fluoride in it. But there's nothing special about the water. But what is special is that it is the occasion when our consciences that have repented of their sins and have come to the knowledge of who Jesus is and his sacrifice for us, it is the occasion where the life of Jesus, represented in his blood, that was given on our behalf as forgiveness of sins. It is the occasion where we come in contact with that blood of Jesus and are cleansed and washed and raised to walk in a newness of life, where the old self does what? Dies. And we are raised to walk in a new life, cleansed in a life in service and dedication to God. Because Jesus paid the price. Jesus shed His blood, gave His life, because sin requires death. And Jesus paid the price for us. Adam and Eve ate from the tree, and death entered the world. It was the consequence. You play in the road, you're going to get run over. Let's read 2 Peter 3. Same writer, different book. This is a fairly lengthy reading, but it's important. Stay with me. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming He promised?" Now, what coming? The coming of Jesus, because Jesus says He's coming back. Remember? Jesus said, "I'm coming back. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back," right? Those who saw Him ascend, the angel said, as you saw Him ascend, you will see Him return, right? And remember now, in the first century, these people were expecting that return pronto, immediately. And so now, as decades have passed and Jesus hasn't returned, the conversation becomes, you followers of Christ, y'all are not mentally stable. This coming ain't happening. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting. It's not coming. It's not coming. Okay? That's the discussion. That he's not coming back, and that those things promised aren't true. Ever since our ancestors died, what's happened? Everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's words, the heaven came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. What's His promise? I'm coming back, right? The promise is I'm coming back. He's not slow in keeping the promise. Instead, He is patient. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Let's stop right there and then we'll pick up at verse 10. God is patient because what does God desire to happen? All men to repent and be saved. Hey, if you give your only child as a sacrifice for everybody, what do you want? Everybody to take advantage, right? If you pay that kind of price, you want everybody to come. You want everybody to be saved. Because sometimes what's the thought? God can't wait to catch you in the road and run over you, right? Now, I'm just following up that analogy. But there's a common thought that God is angry and mean and He just can't wait to catch you. You know, the preachers of the early 19th century would preach about God dangling you over the abyss, just waiting for the opportunity to mess up and drop you into the abyss. That was Christian preaching. But that's not Peter's teaching at all, is it? It's that God is patient and kind, wanting everyone to have an opportunity to repent. He's paid the price. He wants everyone to take advantage of it. He wants all men everywhere to be saved. And what we know is that when Jesus returns and judgment comes, the time for repenting is over, right? There's a time when that door closes. But God is patient, wanting all men to repent. That's Peter's teaching. But the day of the Lord will come, and it will come like a thief. And we know that analogy. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. It was destroyed in the flood. It will be destroyed again by fire. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Now, for most of us, and I say that from a cultural, worldly standpoint, who is anxiously awaiting the apocalypse? All right, Grace, there's a couple of you raised your hands. Peter says we ought to look forward to it, but you're being honest. It's the thing we make horror movies about, is it not? It is, right? We make movies about the coming of the end and trying to put that aside. Because that's a horrible thought for most of the world that everything is going to be destroyed. But Peter says we ought to look forward to that. Because it's not the destruction of God's people, right? It's destruction of everything that is sinful and evil. And now, which sins the consequence is death? All of them. Every sin. Now, if we should look forward to that, Peter, that means we're not sinners, right, Peter? And you don't have to raise your hand on this one. But if you're sane and sober and have any intelligence at all, you know you can't cast the first stone in the I'm not a sinner category, right? Because all of us have sinned. And if you don't understand that you're a sinner, I'm not making fun. We really need to talk about it. And it really is a discussion. We need to talk about what sin is. Because I hope you realize that we're sinners. So how can we look forward to this? It's back to what we find in 1 Peter chapter 3, because Jesus stepped in and paid the price for us. Right? That we have the opportunity for forgiveness and life, because Jesus said, I know the consequences for every sin is death, and for those who will let me, I'm going to pay the price for you. If you'll let me, I'll pay the price. But the day of the Lord is coming when there will be destruction. Evil will be destroyed, just like at the flood. But we should look forward to that. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to what? Why are we looking forward to the destruction? Because there's something to follow. A new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Where all will be righteous. Where all will be made new. Where God will be in our very presence. The consequence of sin is death. The consequence of sin is the destruction of evil and unrighteousness. Just like in the days of Noah, it will come. And in the days of Noah, when the flood came, what was going on? People were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, right? Things were going on as they'd always gone on. And what did people think would happen? It'll always go on that way, right? It'll always go on that way. And the rains came. God is patient, wanting everyone to repent. Everyone to have the opportunity to hear about what Jesus has done for us and repent. But one day, the Lord will return. Jesus will return and will bring tremendous blessings to the children of God and judgment on evil. Not because God just desires to bring judgment, just because of the law, just because of the fact, the wages of sin is death, and every sin brings about death. But Jesus paid the price for us so that we can look forward to that day and being a part of the new heaven and the new earth. Being saved by the blood of Jesus, just as Noah and his sons and wife and their wives were saved by the ark. Are you on the ark today? If the rain started today, are you in the ark before the door closes? Because you can't tread water that long. We can't withstand the destruction that's coming except by the blood of Jesus. And we're all sinners, but Christ died for all of us. None of us are so good that we don't need the sacrifice. None of us are so bad that it can't reach us. Jesus died for all of us. If you're willing to change your ways and repent of sin, confess the lordship of Jesus, be willing to confess that publicly, to put him on in baptism and be cleansed, to die to the old self and be raised to walk in the newness of life, we would encourage you to come. If you are a Christian today and you need prayers, won't you come while we stand and sing?